Lord, I just, here I am, I just present myself to you again, daily, moment by moment. I belong to you, Lord, and whether you wanted me or not, you got me, but you did want me. And here I am. Father, anoint their ears. Fill my mouth with your love. In Jesus' name. So as I said earlier, my topic is War Cry, Live to Love. And you know how sometimes you do prophetic acts, you know, thinking that'll hurry you along, or you know, the Bible is full of testament or prophetic acts, you know. I mean, the very raising of Moses' arms and the strength was there and then it wasn't there, and just you know, countless stories in the Bible with throwing the wet fleece or the dry fleece, and just a lot of prophetic acts. So this morning, I did a little prophetic act. I thought, well, I'll wake up and I'll take the Bible and I will lay it on my heart, and I'll take my notepad and I'll put it on Nancy's pillow. Maybe her thoughts would drip on my paper. But you know, the King of Kings lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. So the same God that is in Nancy is in me. And if you know Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. If I knew the second and third verse, I'd sing it, and that would take a little bit longer in my workshop. Love only comes from God. We don't have it in ourselves. We don't have the kind of love that in ourselves that he has. God is love. So much so that, you know, that old verse in the Bible, John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love is giving. Last night, if any of you were here, you heard Evelyn sharing her offering that, you know, she said that I took her pictures. Well, she took my words from my workshop and saying that love, it's not an emotion. It is an act. It's a conscious decision. And yes, the emotions come along with it as well, but if you think about it, God came while we were still sinners, not because we were deserving of it, but he chose us and he loved us. I just want to start with a few things, scriptures from the Word. And it's not so important that you jot these all down, because his Word is full of places where he tells us that he is love. So I'm just going to, just to remind you that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. And this is how God showed us his love. He sent his only Son. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And we also ought to love each other. And if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete. Rely on God's love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. Sound familiar? No fear, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives or casts out fear. See, the thing about these workshops, they vary in a sense that sometimes you get those topics that, you know, you can really glean and learn from them and walk away with things that, like, knowledge that you didn't know anything about. But the thing about love is I can't teach you how to love. Because in myself, I don't possess the kind of love that is real, true, agape love, as God calls it. So I can't show you how to do that, and you go out and, you know, you have it because it grows. You learn, and this is where it comes from. And it's something that he puts in you, and love comes out of you. If you look up, you know, there's, if you just think in general about love, you know, you got like puppy love, you know, but it's real to the puppy. You've got love that, you know, it's easy to love people that are friendly or warm or, you know, compliment you or that you get along. You know, that's easy. But, you know, the Lord says, like, heck, even those that don't know his love do that. So what's the difference? Love is that unconditional love that you make a choice no matter how you're treated. It's what comes out of you. And the only thing that can come out of you is what's in you. And if he is not in you, what's going to come out? I think if, you know, my husband, what if he never told me he ever loved me again other than, you know, one time, you know, when we were married? It's something that you have to do over and over again. But he doesn't go around saying, I love you, 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 I love you. He goes around and he demonstrates his love in different ways, not because I've said, you know, if you do this, that means you love me. That's putting a condition on it. He does things out of what God has put in him to love me as his wife. And the same is true with friends, too. You know, we get different people in our lives that we really have a choice what kind of behavior we are going to demonstrate to them. I remember hearing a story about this woman that she was really discouraged because her husband never told her that he loved her and that, you know, she was feeling unloved or he doesn't love me. And I mean, his philosophy was, well, I told you, you know, 40 years ago that I loved you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That is not God's love for us. The verse that goes along with this workshop is from Romans 12, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 12 through 16. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of saints, practicing hospitality. And I think of practicing hospitality, and that's kind of like when you are entertaining or doing things for others who are strangers or who you really don't know very well. It's easy, like I said, it's easy to do well for those that you want to do well with, but we are selective in who we want to show our compassion to. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another, and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations. we, like I started to say earlier, you know, we know what love is. We know when we feel loved and accepted, and you know, like I said, you get those feelings and emotions with it too, but we can't be responsible for how others act or react to us, but we have a responsibility commanded by God to love one another, whether or not we feel like we have been treated rightly or wrongly. In 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 5, it says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, self-control, to self-control perseverance, godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. These qualities, add to them in increasing measure. You know, in preparing for this workshop, it's like you're reading everything, or you're just trying to search stuff out, and it's like, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. You get up here, and it's like, nothing. I got nothing. But the good news is he does. So if you just give me just a minute here. This is such a familiar passage. This is what love is. It's patient. It's kind. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. This is what it's not. Love is not envious. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Have I told you anything that you don't already know? So why do we have not us, we all love each other, but why is it that in the world or in the body of Christ, we know what love is and what it's not, but yet we have day-to-day struggles or conflicts that we know what the truth is, we know what the word is, but what is it that, where did we miss the mark that there is not love functioning? Because if you look at the love that comes from God, it's perfect peace. It's not fear. It's all love. It's not conflict-free, but there's peace and unity in it. So what have we missed? I think of in Exodus chapter 16, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, and it wasn't too long, and they're like, hey, why did we just leave our stew and lamb and bread for this? Why did we leave that? You know, here, I know when we were there, we were like complaining that we were under a rule and we weren't loved, or we were in bondage. Now we're free, but yet I want to go back to that bondage of, you know, where the food was just spoon-fed to me, and, you know, what's going on? Why in the desert? in the wilderness. And so the Lord said, look, when you're making those complaints, we think we're complaining to our brothers and sisters. We are making those complaints to the Lord. That's what he tells us in Exodus 16. It's like we are complaining before the Lord. What he has given us, what he has provided for us, the pathway that he is making because we have decided to pursue him, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in the wilderness, and then we are complaining. And he's like, okay, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you meat. I'll give you bread, daily bread. Does he not give us daily bread? Yet we still complain. We still are not loving according to how he has laid out the rule, or the command, what love is and what love is not. We know it, but yet we choose to complain in the wilderness rather than say, okay, this is where you're leading me. Does that make sense? I mean, I know I'm using a whole group of people, but think of this as your everyday things. You know, you've begged to, not even begged, you've asked to hear the Lord more clearly. You've asked for him to demonstrate his glory. Do you know when the manna showed up on the ground, they didn't recognize it. They'd asked for they've complained, and this is what the Lord gave them, and he called it his glory, and they didn't recognize it. How many times has God, in his response to us, given us his glory, and we have not recognized it? That daily bread, and like I said, that love is a decision. You've heard of tough love. Love, whether it's easy or tough, always builds up, even if it's maybe to bring correction first, then build up. It always hopes. It never fails. Love never fails. Never. Love never fails. So God gave the people quail and manna. And he said, okay, here you go. Now are you going to follow my teachings, follow my instructions, and only collect what you need for that portion? And those that needed more got more. Those that didn't need so much, you always have the sufficient amount for whatever you need. We have this idea that it ought to be like God ought to pour in the measure that we think we need to walk in to do what we think we need to do. But it's about him. It's God's love, like I said earlier. It's not about anything that we can do or we possess. That means that we have to get out of the way. No self. You want to be filled with God's love? Let yourself go. Die. Let Christ be filled in you. When we were in Australia, the next day after we left, they had outlawed selfies. Selfie pictures, you know? All about me! People were not watching where they were going and falling over. And if you think about that, I mean, dangerous life, getting killed, doing things like that. Think of that spiritually. When we are walking in ourselves and we want to go, even though we choose to do things that we know we shouldn't do because of ourselves, we're stepping out of God's instruction and protection, and we can, you know, potentially kill ourselves by taking those selfies spiritually. So, you know what the word says. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But for some reason, we as God's people, because obviously we're still breathing and he's still working on us and there's still room for growth, like the passage Nancy shared about, you know, this is what the Lord has against us. Talking to the mature, we have fallen from our first love. We're not walking in that compassion and his grace and mercy. And if you look in Colossians chapter 3, this is what we need to be clothed in God's love. And this is from the Message, I think. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked for you. Verse, I believe it's 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. And it's like I said, it's in the Message, so it's kind of got a little spin to it. But think of that as, you know, everyone here, obviously, you got dressed this morning. What did you put on spiritually? Did you just arrive here today on what you ate yesterday spiritually? Were you looking for someone else to feed you spiritually? Nancy, again, shared an awesome message about, you know, we as Christians tend to eat just on what the pastor feeds a Sunday and then, like, starve the rest of the week. What is it that we have dressed ourselves with? So this is what he says. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. You know, the thing about being offended, it's like we think we have the right to, like, be ticked off, you know, because we were wronged. That's not how God wants to clothe us. Because remember, this kind of love, this agape love that I'm telling you about, only comes from God. And if you research it, you look at the Hebrew word of agape love, and or of love, it's agape love, but that love is not just a decision, it's giving, and if you're going to give, there has to be a receiving, and it's a reconciliation. Love is that reconciliation, it's a connection. God has made a connection with us, and he wants it to be a love that comes from him. Forgive as quickly and completely as your master forgave you. The old do unto others as it's done unto you. Golden rule. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Your basic all-purpose garment, never be without it. Now, do not raise your hand on this, but I bet everybody has their underwear on, right? I don't really want to know about that. But you know what? I bet that if you have clothed yourself in that undergarment, you are much more comfortable today, and you are clothed in peace. And that peace is going to shine through. And I'm going to be a receiver, a reciprocal of you wearing your underwear in a roundabout way. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off doing your own thing. And you know the funny thing about when you are going off doing your own thing? You think that you are spirit-led sometimes, and you're not. You're just doing your own thing. How do you know? How do you know? Because if you think you're spirit-led and you're not, how do you know you're not? How do you know when you're deceived or not? Because you have clothed yourself. Because you have a connection in love with people that speak into you and that you speak into them. People that walk in the counsel of the Lord. You know, the verse about, it's good to have godly counsel. Well, godly counsel is no good unless you listen to it and weigh it with the word. And if you don't know the word yourself, you don't know if you're going to get the right counsel or not. We have a responsibility to clothe ourselves with God's love and walk in that place of forgiving others as we have been forgiven. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Now, common sense is only good common sense if you are eating on the word of God. Because I know, like Bob was saying earlier, it's like good is really a relative term, And sing your heart out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. But here's the funny thing. There's stories in the Bible where, people were doing things in the name of the Lord, and the enemy's like, hey, Paul I know, him I know, who the heck are you? I know you're using the Lord's name, but I don't see you're operating in the love. That's the difference. To live to love, you have to live it daily. And this ought to be a big relief. You're not going to master it until you die. So don't feel like you have to perfect it, because it's only his love that he puts in you that comes to complete perfection. Because remember, God is love. It's not something that we have. So it's like, Lord, how can I, explain this if I don't even have it? It's not up here. It's not in my mind. James is doing the one on renewing your mind. This is about your heart. And nobody knows the heart of a man except for himself. And the Spirit searches all things. And you've got to give the Spirit permission to search your heart. And he's so kind and so gentle. And you're walking along and all of a sudden, the places where you thought you were operating in love and doing well with others and doing such good favors for everybody, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's like, did you realize what you said? We have to be very sensitive if we want to follow his leading. He's not going to push us, but he will certainly lead us. Have you ever tried to you want somebody to lead, but you don't want to get out of the way. You ever see those bumper stickers? If you're not going to lead, get out of the way. Well, the Lord is not going to push us out of the way to lead us. We have to be willing to follow. His love never fails. I know I've said that, but I just thought I would remind you, because when we have days when we feel, when we're riding on our emotions instead of faith, remember, God doesn't love you whether you feel good or don't, or you're up or down. He just loves you. He just loves you. Love never fails. Do we love if we don't feel so good, or if we've been wounded or attacked? It's not so easy to love, is it? Because we want to protect ourselves. We want to guard our heart. We want to, like Nancy was talking in the wall, we want to put another rock up so we're not going to get hurt. But love is like this, stretched out. Go ahead, nail my hands. Nail my feet. I will love you. I will bleed for you. I will die for you. I did. I've already taken it for you. Just die in yourself and you can have my power. That's what he's saying. We know the word, but we forget to feed on it daily. Or we feed on it and we're stacking it up as if it's yesterday's manna, yesterday's quail. You can't do that. Otherwise, it's like, check it the next day and it's wormy, as it was with Israelites. You want to eat a wormy word? Okay, I ask you not to raise your hand on your underwear. Here's another one, don't raise your hand on, but you know, one of the principles of the Bible is that we are to be prosperous and live in, you know, abundance. Yet there is a lot of debt. Our country, other countries, as families, households, and this is not a condemnation, this is just a fact. There is a lot of debt, an extraordinary amount of debt in families and households. We're not supposed to have them, but here's the good news. From the good news, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So, wear your underwear and love one another. Two steps. Two-step process to love. Now, wasn't that easy? That love is a debt that you can run it in the ground all you want. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, it's easy to speak kindly of other people when we reciprocate the same thing, but a soldier came to Robert E. Lee and he said, "What do you think of this soldier?" And he said, "He's a good soldier." And then a little while later, the soldier came back to him and said, "Hey, you said he was a good soldier, but do you realize he's bad-mouthing you, he's undermining you, and he's trying to ruin your name, and he's accusing you, and so now what do you have to say?" He said, "He's a good soldier." He's like, "But look what he's doing to you." He said, "Well, you asked me how I felt about him, not how he felt about me." No matter how we are treated, how we feel loved or not loved, we have to make a decision. If we are going to be clothed in the wardrobe that is from God, we have to walk in a love that is from God, not based on what's said about us. Those are the kind of things that that love is the bond of peace. I know I told you that I would give you something, and I was so excited because you know how you get excited when you're like really wanting only to do, you know, and say what the Lord wants, and sometimes you don't know until, you know, after the fact. And so when I got this, you know, I thought, oh, good, because it's not, you know, something that I would have thought of. But, you know, I think I'm probably going to be more excited about it than you are. But, you know, our words have such power in it, like Dave shared in his testimony. You know, we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And we have the power to speak love or not. And like I said earlier in the workshop, why is it that we don't walk in that love that's from Him when we know it? We know what love is. We know it's patient. We know it's kind. We know it's it doesn't keep a record. And we know it's not envious. It doesn't boast. But yet we think that either we think or we don't put much thought into what we think or say, that, you know, we're not walking in His love all the time. And like I said, we're not going to do it because we're not perfect, and it's not from us, it's only from Him. But when we don't, part of that love is asking for forgiveness or forgiving. That's the whole grace and mercy that is also His love. So I was thinking, well, you know, it's hard. We know what it says, but we fail to remember in the heat of things, right? So it's like, well, what? Help me to remember. You know, sometimes, you know, you think of, oh, God, if I could just hear you louder, or if I could just, you know, see you or feel you, something tangible, it would be so easy, right? Well, here I am to make it easy for you. Like I said, I think I'm going to be more excited than you are, but but like I started out with, love is not something that I can give you or teach you, because it's only from God, and it's a continuous thing. It's a walking, and we're never going to be in the fullness until we have taken our last breath. So I have for you a stone, and you can use it either way. You can either use it as a rock of remembrance, that the love of God is filling you with every step that you walk, and that you have clothed yourself and you are wearing His underwear. Or not His underwear, but wearing your underwear. Wearing underwear. Or you can be that one that cast the first stone. How many times have we been in situations where we, even in our thought, maybe we don't say it, maybe we don't do anything, but in our thought, in our heart, we have cast a stone at our brothers or sisters, our neighbors, ourselves. We cast them at ourselves all the time. I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I'm, you know, like Moses, I can't speak. We cast those stones at ourselves all the time. So if you have something tangible and you're faced in that kind of a situation, and like the Lord said, when the woman came before him and she was being accused, he's like, cast the first stone. So if you feel that you are in a place and operating in mature love and you are in a place to cast the first stone, I think you're going to realize that, oh my gosh, I am not walking in the love that he wants me to walk in. So it's a really good sign if you keep that stone in your pocket, because it's that stone of remembrance that he's working all things for good to completeness. And what he started, he is faithful to complete. Amen? So I have a rock for you. And I'm going to check your pockets tonight and see if you still have it. No. And you know, these rocks are, some are a little smoother, some are more jagged. And it's kind of like that with our words. We make comments. They're not like real jagged, but they're enough to leave a mark, a wound. Especially if you get hit in the eye. And don't throw it at yourself, too. I think that's the biggest thing we do. Sew a pocket in your underwear and keep it in there. Did I give you one? You want one? Any questions? Any concerns? I think it's in Revelation where it talks about, well, actually, it's several places. A stone of remembrance. Even when the tribe crossed over the Jordan, he said, you know, build a monument for a testimony of remembrance. But there's also a place in Revelation where it talks about your name is written on a white rock as a stone, a testimony. I know a lot of times for myself, like if there's I'll write a verse on my sticky note or a note, and I'll keep it in my pocket, and it's like, just throughout the day, it's like when I put my hand in my pocket, it's like I remember. You know, sometimes we're a little like hard on ourselves, you know, and it's just that remembrance that guard your tongue, speak life. And in clothing ourselves, our wardrobe, it's that daily feeding, that daily eating on the Lord's manna, just the portion that he has given us. And then that love flows out and reciprocates with even our enemies. It's easy to love your friends. That's what the Lord says. It's easy to love those that treat you well. What about those that don't?